Marcus Agrippa, The March to Actium, Part 3. Now, after setting the boundaries with Parthia with some defenses, Antony and Cleopatra sailed for Ephesus to gather their forces. There were supposed to be 800 ships of war, which included merchant vessels. Cleopatra herself furnished 200. She also provided 20,000 talents in money, as well as supplies for the whole army during the war. In the arms race for the coming civil war, Antony was far ahead of Octavian. Without having made adequate preparations and lacking many essential supplies, Octavian feared being forced into a fight that very summer. To raise the cash he needed to pay for the men and material he needed, he was forced to compel the citizens to pay a quarter of their income and freedmen 1/8 of their property. This led to both classes vehemently protesting against Octavian. Riots broke out all across Italy. Octavian now risked losing the political capital he and Agrippa had so carefully built up over the previous 2 years. Then, quite unexpectedly, Antony failed to move. With the benefit of hindsight, amongst the greatest mistakes Antony made, men reckon his postponement of the war, according to Plutarch. This gave Octavian time to make preparations and put an end to the disturbances among the people. Now, there were defections among Antony's friends, too, claiming that he had been coldly treated by Antony on account of unmistakable evidence of his theft. Proconsul L. Munius Plancus switched sides and brought with him slanderous gossip that Octavian quickly broadcast. He was also joined by his uncle, Titus. They informed him of the contents of Antony's will and testament, though supposedly held in the care of the Vestal Virgins, who were sworn to keep secret until Antony's death. By some means, fair or foul, Octavian managed to get a copy. He studied it, he identified the most damning clauses, and brought them before the Senate. To the sober conscript fathers, Antony was revealed to be a subservient of the Queen of Egypt. They were told how he had rubbed her feet at the banquet in full view of the guests. He had abandoned a court case mid-trial to wander off and join her entourage. He had lavished expensive gifts on her, including the library at Pergamum and its collection of 200,000 books. Most shockingly was the stipulation that after a public funeral in the Forum at Rome, Antony's body should be returned to Cleopatra for burial in Egypt. Other truths, half-truths, rumors, falsehoods from second and third-hand sources were of course woven into the oration to show how Antony had allowed himself to shamefully pander to his Egyptian mistress, to neglect his duties as an official of the Roman state. Scandalous was that Antony already had a Roman wife, and not any woman, but the sister of his fellow triumvir. The two triumvirs now accused each other openly and publicly. Antony repeated his charge that Octavian had removed Lepidus unlawfully, and that the territory and troops taken from the former triumvir, as well as the troops he had confiscated from Sextus Pompeius, which should have been shared between them, he demanded his half. Octavian retorted that Antony was holding Egypt and other nations without due process of assigning them by lot, that he had killed Sextus Pompeius when he himself had willingly spared him, and the way he had treated the king of Armenia had brought the dignity of the Roman people into disrepute. Then he demanded half of the spoils of war. Above all, he reproached him for the children he had sired with Cleopatra, the gifts he had lavished upon them, and particular because he was calling the boy Caesarion and bringing him into the family of Caesar. Yet Antony still had supporters in Rome, and critically, many were in the Senate. On New Year's Day, 32 BCE, the new consuls, Enerobarbus and Sosius, stood steadfast with their maligned friend, with Enerobarbus refrained from speaking out against Octavian. Sosius made a very personal attack against him. Octavian, however, was not in Rome to hear them. Fully expecting the accusations, he stayed away from Rome with Agrippa at his side. When the resulting unfavorable legislation limiting Octavian's power finally came up for vote, Octavian quietly arranged for a sympathetic tribune, Nonius Balbus, to simply veto it. Then returning to the city, Imperator Octavian convened the Senate and surrounded himself menacingly with loyal troops who wore concealed daggers. They also wore their hobnailed caligae, that is, their war sandals, which were obvious underneath their normal robes. Octavian sat himself provocatively on the official chair with the consuls. He then proceeded to defend his actions at length, but in moderate language, and to bring accusations against Antony and Cilicius, promising at the next meeting of the Senate to produce documents which would irrefutably support his allegations against them. Octavian declared that anyone feeling insecure in Rome was at complete liberty to leave and join Antony. Well, many took that cue. This was the moment for a large contingent of Antony's supporters, some 200 of the 900 senators. They fled Rome for the perceived safety of the Egyptian capital to join Antony. Anobarbus and Cilicius were amongst them. Octavian promptly replaced them with two Suffolk consuls, Cinna and Messala, both sympathetic to his cause. While the exiles assembled and declared themselves the legitimate Senate, things did not go Antony's way. On Samos, he and his Egyptian consort received an assembly of client kings, amongst them Herod. Another unexpected guest was Artavades of Media. It transpired that, having withdrawn the legions from Armenia, there were no Roman troops available to save him from attack by the Parthian king. Ousted from his own kingdom, he now sought sanctuary with Antony on the Greek island. Then, during the summer of that year, Antony finally and unceremoniously divorced Octavia. His callousness contrasted with her consideration. Even as his agents presented the letter demanding that she leave his house in Rome, she was in tears of distress that she herself also would be regarded as one of the causes of the war. Again, Antony had misjudged the mood of the Roman people. They felt for Antony, but they also felt for Octavia, and especially those who had seen Cleopatra, and knew that neither in youthfulness nor beauty was she superior to Octavia. A dutiful Roman lady, she left the Domus Antonia, taking all of his children and hers, except Antony Attilus, his eldest son by Fulvia, who was already with his father. When Antony and Cleopatra arrived in Athens, he insisted that his new wife should receive the same honors as Octavia had been accorded. So whenever she spoke, he listened, agreeing with her on many important matters, even against his own instinct and better judgment. Relations between his Roman supporters soon became strained. When Antony proposed to attack Italy, she persuaded him not to, but in doing so, he upset several of the senators in exile, as well as many of his officers. And I would also point out that, you know, when they stayed in these cities like Ephesus and Athens, Cleopatra would go through the cities daily on a chariot. She also brought statues with her of herself as Isis and Antony as Dionysius, and they were then set up in various temples in these two cities. So there was a statue of Antony and Cleopatra on the Acropolis. There was one placed in the main marketplace of Ephesus. I don't know whether she had a whole barge of these statues, but they would pop up literally everywhere. And of course, this is a little troublesome, as you see, from the supporters of Antony and the Roman Empire. Once they leave Athens, they are heading to the final battle, which is in Actium. Now, the sources for this, the Lives of the Caesars by Suetonius, the Annals of Imperial Rome by Tacitus, the Lives by Plutarch, the 12 Caesars by Grant, Cleopatra by Grant, Marcus Agrippa, right-hand man of Caesar Augustus by Powell, and the Caesar's Wives Above Suspicion by Peron. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.